There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Neil Hudson. This is the interview I did with Cal Crutchlow. I think it's about 4 days after his second win this year. I can't believe I'm saying that. In MotoGP in Australia. It was on good form, let's say. It's well worth a listen. I hope you enjoy it. Cal, it's been 4 days, that's all, since you won your second ever MotoGP race. Has it sunk in? Have you had time to reflect on it? Have you watched the race back?
Yeah, I couldn't sleep on the plane, so I watched it back. It was something very special in my career, as was Bruno, you know, Bruno being my first one, but I think Australia, it's always had a special place in my heart, the track. I did very well there on the Tech 3 bike, and it was my second podium on the Tech 3 bike. So the two places, the first podium I ever had was in Brno, and the second win was in Australia, and It was the same this year. I had my first win in both the circuits. So, yeah, I don't know if it's sunk in. I haven't really had time to think, and especially in these three flyaway races, you know what it's like with the travel. I travelled straight here. I spent some time with Luce and Willow for a day, and then I had to fly to Jakarta for a two-day event for Castro. So I didn't really have too much time. But obviously my team are really, really pleased. We've had a lot of attention as such, you know, media attention and attention from the paddock, which is great. But, you know, I think they deserve it as much as what I do. So, yeah, it's been really, really good.
I mean, you beat Valentino Rossi, Jorge Lorenzo. You were catching Mark and he crashed. I mean, when we talk about Marc Márquez and when you talk about him, you say he's the most talented rider you've ever seen on a motorcycle, and we talk that he's going to break records, even Rossi's records. You beat these people. How does that make you feel? That's what I want to know as an ex-rider.
Don't get me wrong, it makes me feel very, very proud. But I'm not a really, really emotionally attached person when it comes down to that, because I'm not here to break records. I'm here because I love what I do. It's my job, and I don't sit there and look at the statistics and look at the thing and say, okay, Barry Sheen did this, so I want to do that. I don't look like that. But sure, to beat Mark, Jorge and Vale on the day, it's great to beat them all at once. You know, it's one of them. Because I've beat them separately many times.
Yeah.
You know, I've had great battles with Valentino when I was with the Yamaha, and I've had great battles with Mark when I was with Yamaha. But to beat them all on the same day is something special because there's not many people that can say or will say in their career that they've managed to do it.
Cal, there's a handful.
Yeah.
That's the reality of the situation.
It's great. You know, of course, I'm pleased for the people around me as much as me, as I've said, but the problem is you just look at the next race.
No, I know.
You don't have that. I think at the end of my career, maybe I would think, okay, I did some fantastic results. I did some amazing rides, some amazing laps even over my career that I really enjoyed. But I don't. Now it's so difficult to sit and think, okay, I've done this, because you sat there thinking, okay, I have to go to Malaysia now, I have to do this, we have this to try, we want to try that with the bike, you know what it's like as a motorcycle racer, you're always looking for that next thing that you want in your career, and a good ride here this weekend would be great, but I am also very, very realistic of how difficult this place is, how difficult it is with the Honda. Also, my style a little bit doesn't suit this place so much, Then I have a goal of, okay, well, I want to do the best job I can do, and then I'll be very, very satisfied at the end of the weekend. Yeah. And if that's 10th, it's 10th. On paper, it looks crap compared to what we've just done, but that's the way it is. You have to choose some things. I aimed to win in Phillip Island, I did. Maybe I should aim to win here, of course, you know, I have to, probably have to let my career stop and then, you know, I have more
look back
more,
and enjoy
more
it.
Chance to
you
look
will.
Back and start, enjoy
you
it.
You will. I can assure you that, because I think I know you well enough. What I want to know on a personal note is, how well are you riding right now? Because you've been doing this a while now. had a decent career, long career, done a bit of everything, World Supersport champion and obviously World Superbikes. Is this it? Is this the pinnacle? Do you feel like you're there or there's more to come? Where do you feel?
I think I'm in a great moment in my career, sure. I think our package has been difficult this year, as everybody's known. So maybe I'm in the best point in my career because we've had to ride around a lot of problems. This is why I say Mark is so special, because he had a 52-point lead at one point on something that, honestly, I don't think anybody else in the championship would be competitive with, let alone, you know, with their riding styles, with the way things work. I think it works for me because I ride around it and I just muscle the bike around a bit. I try my hardest, whatever happens. But you look at Jack, Tito, they're down in the dumps with it, you know. And I was at the start of the year because I kept crashing with the front. That's not to say now I'm not crashing with the front, but I mean, you learn to get over it. You have to turn your head and think, it's the way it is. They're not going to suddenly click their fingers, change everything, and you're going to suddenly have a different bike on the grid.
But how do you have the faith to do that? Because you've crashed more times this year than you have done in your MotoGP career.
I think everybody has, though. You know, I think to come back strong is always a good thing. I know a lot of other riders that just go on the downward spiral, like Jorge. No disrespect to Jorge. He's had some crashes, he's had some bad races, and he's at this moment more on a downward spiral than what he has been over previous years, that where it might not have fazed him at all. But you know me, I'm a guy that I get my adrenaline from proving people wrong, from proving myself wrong, proving not my team wrong because they back me whatever happens, but you know, when they have a doubt, I like for them to come in and them have a smile on the face that I proved them wrong with that doubt, you know.
Yeah.
That's not to say I want to prove you wrong. It's more of me being me, thinking I can't do something, or you know, at some point you might think, okay, that might be difficult, but then going and being able to do it. I do it every day of the week, doing something. I have to have that motivation to want to carry on doing it, you know. And as I've always said, the day that I lose that and the day that I get out of bed and think, okay, I can't be asked to go cycling today, or that's the day when you start to think, okay, maybe it's time to do something else. But in the moment, I don't feel like that. I feel more motivation, which is always a good thing. It's me just being me, but sure, I like to prove people wrong.
We've noticed. If ever there's been a season of two halves, this is the one. The first eight races, you scored 20 points. You were nowhere in the championship. We were saying, as you know, Cal's career looks like he's on the downward spiral, probably the end of your career, or certainly your time in this paddock. That's what it looked like. The last eight races, you've scored 121 points. There's only Mark scored 7 points more than you. So from Germany to this point, you're lying second in the championship. I know it doesn't work that way, but these are facts that we have to deal with. My next question is, can you realistically have a championship in you, have a championship challenge, a realistic one?
I don't know. Honestly, you know, we know, and you know more than most, it's difficult with a satellite bike. I get great support from the factory. As I've always said, my bikes come well prepared. I help them with the development on this bike and also next year's machine. Do I have a championship in me? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I think I could finish higher up in the championship than what I will this year and that I have before. But to challenge week in, week out with a satellite bike and a satellite team is difficult, because maybe a plug will be pulled somewhere if you're beating them week in, week out. That's racing. But that doesn't mean I won't give it a shot. You know, I start every year thinking, okay, maybe I can challenge this year. Mm. Same as what I did this year. The start of the year, there was a lot more going on than what people knew, or people, they just see you on the floor. They have no idea that a couple of times I had to jump off the thing, i.e. Qatar, first race of the season. Austin was my mistake. Jerez, we had a completely faulty rear tyre and I finished nowhere. Mugello, I finished 11th, nearly a minute off the winner or something like that. But I had no brakes. I had 320 brake disc. At a place like Mugello, they're not working. For me anyway. You know, them small things add up. But sure, to be able to turn the season around the way I did and the way I have, it makes me proud and pleased. I don't think you've seen the best of me in a full racing season. Mm. You know, I know I can be fast. My qualifying hindered me this year, which I never thought I'd say, because normally I qualify better than what I race. Mm. Or I race well on race day, but I haven't got the speed at the start of the race that I had in the qualifying. But can I challenge for a championship? I don't know. I'll try again next year and see how it goes. But, you know, I think I was never going to be leaving the paddock at the end of this year. I had a two-year deal.
Yeah. But no, but you know when the season's going that bad, you just don't know. And I know you wouldn't want to be riding around 20th in the championship.
Yeah, sure.
Because you just go, I'm done anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, and like I said, I don't know where it was. Oh, Misano this year. I finished 8th. I got demoted to 9th. And we're arguing the toss of who should have been, Paul or me. And like I said in the safety commission, Paul started to give his point of view. I said, Paul, do you think I'm here to finish 8th or 9th? He said, have your point. I don't care. You know, I'm here to do better than 8th or 9th.
Yeah.
And in Misano was a bad result, but a good result considering what happened in the race, I felt. And, you know, that statement, I think, sums me up quite a lot. I'm not here to finish 8th or 9th. Yeah. But then again, if I feel that 8th or 9th was the best I could have ridden on the day with the package that I had, I would be happy with it.
Yeah.
So you have to take it into consideration that these guys here are next level. You know, it's not like you can just jump on the bike and say, okay, you know, if I do this, I can gain this lap time. You can't do it. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to gain there, because that guy next to you is also going to gain there. Yeah,
everyone's
you know,
on the limit.
Everyone's complete. On the complete limit, and that's why it's the best championship in the world.
Yeah. There's been a bit of talk this week about HRC. I've heard a few different stories. One, that you weren't, or you're not happy with the support you're getting, which I don't believe. And also that there's possibly going to be some, or a lot more support next year from HRC. Obviously, after winning the race, there's lots of rumours going around. Has anything changed?
No, some stuff changed before Australia, I would say. To clear up what was said and what has been said after, I get fantastic support off HRC internally. We get good support as a team with machinery wise. We're not on a factory spec bike. We're not on a what we used to call CRT bike either, but we're close to the factory. We're very close. And as I've always said, if you shove Matt Marquez on my bike, I think he's still going to go as fast as what he would on his own, give or take. I don't think he would finish the race in the same race time, but I think the speed can be in one lap, two laps, the same. In Australia, I was disappointed that there was no Honda people in the press conference. There was no Honda people saying, well done, when I just won the constructors race for them, you know, as well. So that was more of my point.
Right.
With regards to HRC for next year, I don't know. I've not heard anything that we're going to get more support, that's sure.
But can you ask personally, is that something you can do to say, come on, guys, look.
In the end of the day, you know, gone are the days of having 3 factory riders or something like that, but that's not to say it couldn't be done in another factory.
So that's what you're saying, that there is the opportunity that might happen for next year? Or is it set in stone that you're going to ride a Honda?
Is anything in this paddock set in stone?
No.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I have to concentrate on the next 2 races and then see what happens then. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm sure there's some stuff going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
I know, because I'm managing myself now.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing that I'm willing to speak about as such, but
no.
I am happy with the support that I get from Honda internally. I'm also happy with my team, so you know, I have to give credit to them. As I've said many, many times, they do a good job.
But if you are contracted, like you said you are, you was always on a 2-year deal, is that to Lucio then?
Yes.
Yeah.
I won't be giving you anything else.
No. Well, Cal, thanks for being so open and honest as you usually are, and congratulations on what you've achieved so far, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks, Liam.
Cheers. As always, fascinating stuff from Cal, I'm sure you'll agree. We'll speak again on Thursday ahead of the final round this year at Valencia. Goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.